Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This is our second morning on the same verse. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 36.
Etavad eva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmanah anvaya vyatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada etavad eva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmanah anvaya vyatirekabhyam yat syat sarvatra sarvada etavat up to this eva certainly jigyasyam is to be inquired tatva the absolute truth jigyasana by the student atmanaha of the self anvaya directly vyatirekabhyam indirectly yat whatever syat it may be sarvatra in all space and time sarvada in all circumstances. Translation: a person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly, again, must certainly search for it up to this. This etava is up to this. It's a pronoun referring to something previously spoken. The something previously we heard yesterday is devotional service and in this mature stage, love of God. So the jigyasyam, the inquisitiveness into the absolute truth by the inquisitive, should be searched out up to this, devotional service. Directly, indirectly, in all circumstances, all space, all time. So, for those that weren't with us yesterday, too bad. No. This is a continuation of discussion on a verse that's very important verse, so important it has 13 and a half pages of purport. And it's the final of the four Chatur Shloki, four essential verses of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses, and they're compressed and compressed and compressed and into these four. And you let go and everything goes, comes out. 18,000 verses. So it's there's a lot of message in these words, in the phrases within the verse. And we spent some time yesterday going over some of it. Particularly, it was the anvaya directly and vyatirekabhyam indirectly. Directly and indirectly. Quickly summarizing, there are direct practices of bhakti, 9 angas or limbs of bhakti, starting with shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Then Vishnu smaranam, remembrance, and the other 6. Those are direct. Deity worship, archanam, vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, rendering service, befriending Krishna, surrendering everything to Krishna. So these different features, worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna, padasevanam. So those are directly, anvaya. But there's also the indirectly, and the indirectly has to do with things of this world, like get a job and go to school and do stuff. So when those do stuff things are joined with the search for the absolute truth and taken up under the direction of the scriptures, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then that it also, in those circumstances, in other words, in those circumstances, the pursuit of the absolute truth should be followed. That is to say, this is not a secular teaching, it's an anti-secular teaching. Secular teaching means this is what you do for God and this is what you do for the state. And the secular doctrine of America is you don't mix the two. There's church and there's state, and you don't mix the two. So there's what you do for God, and there's what you, everything else that you do. This isn't a secular teaching, this is an anti-secular teaching. This says, in all circumstances, directly, indirectly, that the conscious pursuit of the absolute truth is to be in the foreground, not even just in the background, what to speak of, like, out of the car. It's in the front. It's in the foreground of consciousness of the person who's engaging. And it's several times we read, Prabhupada made lists. In social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. That's the indirectly, and other lists of things. So that's not a complete summation of what we covered, but we're going to continue reading towards the top of page 558, where it says, the Srimad Bhagavatam says again and again that without attainment of the status of bhakti yoga, all the activities of human society are to be considered absolute failures only. Ooh. From an absolute perspective. So the mission of human life is self-realization, God-realization. And you may do so many other things very nicely, but if that isn't achieved, what's the fruit? The purpose of human life has been missed. So he quotes 2 verses to support that statement. Bhagavatam 5:5:5. Paravavastavata bodha jato yavan jigasata atma tadvam yavat kriyastavat idam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. paraphrased. As long as one is blind to inquiring after self-realization, that's this, jigyasyam tattva jigyasanatmanaha. If that piece is missing, all material activities, however great they may be, are all different kinds of defeat, because the aim of human life is not fulfilling such unwanted and profitless activities. The function of the human body is to attain freedom from material bondage. But as long as one is fully absorbed in material activities only, his mind will be overwhelmed with the whirlpool of matter, and thus he will continue to be engaged in material bodies life after life. Now, that's not a translation of the verse that I just read, but it's presenting the essence. And then he gives another, the following verse. These are teachings of Rishabdev, the founder of the, or at least those who are Jains consider Rishabdev as the founder of the Jain religion. So nonviolence and kindness to all living entities is a foundation of the Jain religion. Those teachings are included in Rishabdev's teaching, which are found in the Bhagavatam. Here's the next one, 5.5.6. Evam mana karma vasham prayunkte avidyayat man yupadiyamane pritirna yavan mayi vasudeve namuchate deha yogena tavat. And Prabhupada's rendering, it is one's mind that generates different kinds of bodies for suffering different kinds of material pangs. Therefore, as long as the mind is absorbed in fruitive activities, the mind is understood to be absorbed in nescience. And thus, one is sure to be subjected to material bondage in different bodies again and again, until one develops a transcendental love for Godhead, Vasudeva, the Supreme Person, to become absorbed in the transcendental name, quality, form and activities of the Supreme Person. Vasudeva means to change the temper of the mind from matter to absolute knowledge. Tattva jigyasyam tattva jigyasanatmanaha. By that directing inquiry to the absolute truth, the material contamination of passion, which means fruitive activities, go and get stuff and enjoy stuff, and that's the goal. Get more toys, have more stuff, and that's success. And pretend that you're happy having all that stuff. And if you don't feel happy, then you're just not doing it right. Just keep trying. Do it. Consume. It's good for the gross national product. Keep consuming. There's a new phrase now that one of the persons that was instrumental in the gross national product has come up with a new phrase, gross national happiness. Because the conclusion is, through many, 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 many studies, that consumerism and, you know, the goods and services produced by a nation doesn't make people happy if you're better at it. In fact, it shows the opposite. In fact, it shows the people that have less and don't aspire for more, they're happier. So they've got a new one, gross national happiness. I don't know how they measure it, but that's like their concept. And these are like leading economists. Anyway. Uh, Okay, so that's the directly and indirectly have been discussed a little. The inquisitiveness has been just discussed. Now next is sarvatra sarvada. Like, that's the rest of this morning is on that topic. And the way that Prabhupada is going to address it is he presents, this is what Jiva Goswami says about sarvatra sarvada. He summarizes it. And then he presents a whole bunch of verses that support what Jiva Goswami says. And then he summarizes it. So that's what's just about to happen. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada therefore comments on the words sarvatra sarvada in the sense that the principles of bhakti yoga, that's this etavat up to this, for those of you that weren't here yesterday, up to this, it's a pronoun referring to something previously, and the something previously was tadrahasyam sarahasyam tadangam cha. And sa rahasyam means that mystery. And then Prabhupada discloses the mystery. It's the mystery of love, the mystery of divine love, the mystery that is locked in the heart of every living being, that they want to experience divine love, and somehow it's locked up, so it remains mysterious. But if it's unlocked, if it's awakened, then everything becomes revealed. The absolute truth becomes revealed. One's nature, one's self becomes revealed. Real happiness becomes revealed. And the distinction between real happiness and illusory happiness becomes revealed, and otherwise we mistake one for the other. So that's sarvatra sarvada up to this. In devotional service. Again, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada therefore comments on the words sarvatra sarvada in the sense that the principles of bhakti yoga or devotional service to the Lord are apt, APT, appropriate, in all circumstances, i.e., bhakti yoga is recommended in all the revealed scriptures. It is performed by all authorities. It is important in all places. It is useful in all causes and effects, etc. Sarvatra, in all time and space, and sarvada, in all circumstances. Then he's going to give scriptural evidence to support what Jiva Goswami just said. As far as the revealed scriptures are concerned, he quotes from the Skanda Purana on the topics of Brahma and Narada as follows. Samsaresmin mahaghore janma mrityu samakule pujanam Vasudevasya Tarakam Vadhibi Smritaha. It's not a direct translation, but he summarizes. In the material world, which is full of darkness and dangers, combined with birth and death, and full of different anxieties, the only way to get out of the great entanglement is to accept loving transcendental devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. This is accepted by all classes of philosophers. Next, Srila Jiva Goswami also quotes another common passage which is found in three Puranas, namely Padma Purana, Skanda Purana, Linga Purana. It runs as follows. Alodya sarva shastrani vicharya chak punak punak idam ekam sunishpanam dyeyo narayana sada. Translation: by scrutinizingly reviewing all the revealed scriptures and judging them again and again, it is now concluded that Lord Narayana is the supreme absolute truth, and thus he alone should be worshipped. Same conclusion. Next, the same truth is also indirectly described in the Garuda Purana as follows: Param gatopi vedanam sarva shastrartha vedyapi yo na sarveshvare bhaktas tam vidyat purushadamaha. Quote, translation: even though one may have gone to the other side of all the Vedas, and even though one is well versed in all the revealed scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he must be considered purushadamaha, the lowest of mankind. That's not a compliment, by the way. Next, this is just a series of quotes supporting Jiva Goswami's statement. Bhagavatam 5:18-12, one you've heard before. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvayur ganesh tatra samasate sara harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna mano ratena sati dhavato bahi. One who has unflinching devotion in the Supreme Personality of Godhead must have all the good qualities of the demigods, and contrarily, one who is not a devotee of the Lord must be hovering in the darkness of mental speculation and thus must be engaged in material impermanence. Another quote, 11.11.18 Bhagavatam. Shabda brahmani nishnato na nishnayat pare yadi shramas tasya shrama palo hyadenam eva rakshataha. Translation: one must be well versed in all the transcendental literature of the Vedas, but if he fails to be acquainted, one may be well versed in all the transcendental literature of the Vedas, but if he fails to be acquainted with the Supreme, then it must be concluded that all his education is like the burden of a beast, or like one's keeping a cow without milking capacity. Similarly, the liberty of discharging loving transcendental service to the Lord is invested in everyone. Even women, shudras, forest tribes, or any other living beings born of sinful conditions, gives the Sanskrit, 2nd Canto, Chapter 7. The lowest of human beings can be elevated to the highest stage of devotional service if they are trained by the bona fide spiritual master well versed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. If the lowest can be so elevated, then what to speak of the highest who are well versed in the Vedic knowledge? The conclusion is, so here's like the summary of all of those verses, that devotional service to the Lord is open for all, regardless of who they are. That is confirmed. That is the confirmation of its application. That's the etavat. Its application sarvatra sarvada. Anybody's eligible. Whatever label you want to put on somebody, even accurately describing something, they're eligible. So then he goes into what the eligibility is. It's a sincere desire. Therefore, the devotional service of the Lord with perfect knowledge through the training of a bona fide spiritual master is advised for everyone, even if one happens to not be a human being. Gives a quote from Garuda Purana which says, even the worms, birds and beasts are assured of elevation to the highest perfection of life if they completely surrender. I don't know about a worm surrendering. Anyway. To the transcendental loving service of the Lord, so what to speak of the philosophers amongst the human beings. Therefore, there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates for discharging devotional service to the Lord. Let them be either well-behaved or ill-trained. Let them be either learned or fools. Let them be grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated souls or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in the discharge of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhariva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa mami partavya pasrikya yepi supapa yonaya striyavaisyastata shudras tepiyanti parangatim. Even if a person is addicted to all sorts of sinful acts, if he happens to be engaged in the loving transcendental service of the Lord under proper guidance, he is to be considered the most perfectly holy man, without a doubt. Thus, any person, whatsoever or whosoever he or she may be, even the fallen, less intelligent laborer, the dull mercantile class, even the lower, or even a man lower than all these, one can attain the highest perfection of life by going back home, back to Godhead, provided he or she takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in all earnestness. And then the next section, which I'm just going to speak about but not read, is he takes this earnestness and adds an adjective, sincere earnestness, and repeats it. Sincere earnestness, which is the same as Rupa Goswami's teaching in Nectar of Devotion. There's a chapter entitled Eligibility of the Candidate for Devotional Service. It says the same thing. Who's eligible? Just be sincere. Just want it. Not like circumstantially, but sincerely, deeply want it. And that's your eligibility. Well, what about? No, there's no what about. There's no what family you're born in, what nation you're born in, what your intelligence is, what your wealth is, what your past piety, impiety. Just have a sincere desire. That sincere desire connected to proper understanding, proper guidance. Because the scriptures are there, but one might read them in a wrong way. Benjamin Franklin, if I can remember correctly, wrote a little saying when he was young. My friend and I read the Bible day and night. He reads black and I read white. Same book. Two different people get two different understandings. So what do you do with that? The Vedic answer is guidance. And the guidance is a principle, not so much a detail. Without guidance, a sincere person can be sincerely misled and continue their whole life following a path that leads them not towards the goal that they had intended. So sincerity is required, and that sincerity is to be properly guided. Put those two things together, you can reach the goal. And anyone is eligible, provided that sincerity is there. Because what the Vedas teach is, when that sincere desire is there, Krishna, who is within the heart, he sees the sincere desire, and then he gives the opportunity. He reciprocates and provides the facility of proper direction. But then that sincerity is tested. Do you really want the genuine thing? And if the answer is sincerely, yes, I want the genuine thing, then one moves. And if one, oh, I don't know, or something, then more incubation of that sincerity may be required. But the sincerity from our side, the operative principle is sincere earnestness. That's this first two lines. Etavadeva jigyasam tatva jigyasam atmanaha. Atmanaha, into the nature of the self, with a capital S. Or the biblical saying, seek and you shall find. And not in a secular way, not some portion of my life or some portion of my day, but the indication is in all circumstances, directly and indirectly. All time, all place, all circumstances. Regardless of one's position. So we had a lot of discussion yesterday. Let's see if I'll stop here and see if there's some questions or comments. Yes.
I had a thing that you read from getting a job, going to the workplace, some of the work situation may not be fitting as per the instructions. Someone may be doing research on animals. They may have to kill animals to do their research. How they are going to give a field and work and such kind of job? They have to change the job or they
I've been down that path many times with devotees in discussions. We may find ourselves in life due to past ignorance and improper free will choices to be now doing things that, now that the Krishna conscious light went on, they're not good. Some of the things. So, commonly, the advice that I've offered is don't be impulsive. You didn't get to where you are by, you know, just like overnight. Move from where you are over a series of years towards something that doesn't have that same compromise, especially. Someone like yourself, you have a family. You can't just like put your family on hold and say, see you guys later while I redirect my career, which isn't easy to do. How long does it take to build the career? A lot of years. So over a period of time, move someplace from that branch to another branch where something that's in the background of your training allows you to continue having a career without those compromising elements. And help guide your dependents so they don't find themselves in the same compromise. And whoever else you can, you know, like a young plant like, you know, put a plant by a window and it grows toward the window, toward the light, and turn it around, it's growing that way, but after a short time it's growing toward the window again, toward the light. So the responsibility of educating the youth of the world towards these, you know, proper principles of life. That's part of what we can do about circumstances you just described. Slowly ourselves, and pass on wisdom to others as we have it from Scripture. Something else? Yes?
It seems like that the probably transcendental service of the Lord and the Father guidance, if somebody follows that, they become the most perfect soul man with our God. So my question is, does it happen like, you know, in one birth?
Does it happen in one birth?
Like the time.
It can. Why not? It can take many births, and it cannot happen after many births. There's a verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya like that. Can it happen in one birth? The answer is yes. Jagai and Madhai, it happened very quickly. Can it happen in one birth? Yes. Okay, what else?
And the follow-up question is, because our situation is like not 24/7, like just doing transcendental service, like totally, because we are just still with other activities.
No, but those other activities can be as uplifting, the vyatirekabhyam, the indirect activities can be as uplifting as direct activities if they're properly joined with those, the direct activities, specifically hearing and chanting, and then the consciousness that's awakened from hearing and chanting. They can be as delivering. Directly stated. We covered this yesterday. Remember Juana Jimena's question? We covered it yesterday. Ask him. We don't have to give up this and give up that and give up this and give up that in order to be squeaky clean. We have to, those things are inappropriate, they fall away. But those things that are appropriate, they take on their real meaning. That's what's been said. Remember yesterday? Yeah. Okay.
So my other question is, like, so in a group of, like, the, I mean, it's clearly said everything is so clear in this, but when you try to put in practical, when you're doing any emotional act, in terms of service, in a group or anything, like, everybody has to understand that, but it doesn't happen. So there will be a lot of so in those situations, because for how we get the guidance, because for small things we cannot just so how we can come over, and how we know that what we do is we do with the purpose of the service, moving for Krishna and everything, but still we come across a lot of other things. So how we can tackle it?
I hope you're clear about what the question is that you're asking, because I'm not. I got a ballpark idea. It's, you know, like, how do we struggle through being in a group of persons that they have their individual wills just like I have mine, and your daughter has hers and your husband has his, and how do you do it in your home? You do it the same way in the larger group. You know, how do you do it at home? You don't have to answer right now. And same applies.
But my thing is almost different from a group when it comes to a common platform.
Well,
It starts at home. The principles that you learn, charity begins at home. You've heard that one before, right? And actually, it starts in your own heart, and then in the amongst the family members. When you learn within your heart and amongst family members, you apply. It's not double talk. Apply the same principles to a larger group. However long it takes. Ideal is if there's persons of similar commitment, or another phrase is like-minded, or there's some sincerity. But in this world, there's all kinds of differences. That's nice. So if you look at it as a challenge, go ahead. I look at it as nice. And that's part of what service is. You know, your daughter is very different from you. Your husband is very different from you. And you work very well together as a family. And then just expand that. So, you know, look at it as a difficulty. I look at it as like, it's fantastic. And there's scripture, and there's spiritual master. There's persons who are guiding. In the, you know, there's like, use the language, village elders. This is like, you know, how a community grows. In some cases, the children help pull the parents because their innocence and simplicity, it's like inspiring. The parents go, wow, let's do that. So, that's a community. And there's differences. But we can grow as a community. But you as an individual within your family, and as well as within the community, can be the best contributor if your own heart is pure. That's what charity means at home. Right there. There. That's home. Home is where the heart is. That's where the heart is. Make the heart pure. And then the family, and then families. And then, you know, the circles keep going. What's needed is purity. And purity isn't going to come about without sincere application of the principles that are coming from the scripture and under the spiritual master's guidance, and I apply them in my life, and then something happens. Besides, it feels good. There's some purity that starts to prevail. And then as purity is the force. You've heard that one too. So by purity, the thing that you said that's challenging becomes possible. And it'll be as effective as each one of us is sincerely, as the verse just said, purport just said, striving for that purity. And our service unto one another is to assist one another in purity, attaining purity. Not fault-finding, criticizing, hey, look at that dirt. But helping one another to attain purity as a servant. So the standard, this is where we are, and let's help one another strive for purity. That's standard. And here's the standard. And if someone feels support from a place of purity, they can receive strength that they presently don't have. And that's community. Loving relationships. Loving relationships don't start out with perfection. Think of your family. Think of yourself. Think of your own heart. Then extend it to the community. And so there's some commitment. And there are different levels of commitment. It's okay. It's nice. And if there's the mood of loving, extending loving relationships from a place of purity,
things are going to move in the right direction. And if things aren't moving in the right direction, look inside and say, is there purity here or not? It's probably because you've heard me say this so many times before. If Prabhupada was in this circumstance, what would happen? Would it stay the same, get better, or get worse? Easy. Well, why is it not getting better? My heart isn't pure. That's where the finger pointing goes. Make my heart pure. And then I can be an instrument in service to the community members, as with family members. But try to, try to coerce your daughter to do something she doesn't want to do, or your husband to do something he doesn't want to do because you feel it's good for them to do it. Where's that going to go? It's not going to go anywhere. Same with community. Make the heart pure and be an agent of loving relationships. And things move to the degree that there's purity, individually and then collectively. That's what community means. It's not so much just like getting something done. Yay, we got something done. Although we stepped on a lot of toes and heads and faces on the way of getting there. That's not good. We got something done. We want loving relationships. That's the goal. To have that, we need pure hearts. To have that, we need this phrase. Sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life. And unless and until real earnestness is aroused, there is a difference between cleanliness and uncleanliness, learning and non-learning, in the material estimation. We're on the material platform, unless we're on the spiritual platform. So come to the spiritual platform and try, to the capacity that Krishna gives to you, to act on the spiritual platform and just keep trying to act on the spiritual platform with purity. That's what to do. Anything else? Yeah?
Well, I should have mentioned that devotees to God have good qualities with the demigods. So, can you mention some good qualities with the demigods?
The qualities of goodness in general, samadamaktapaksho cham shantir arjavam eva cha, compassionate is one of the outstanding ones. For a devotee of the Lord, or someone that's in the quality of goodness, a care for the well-being of others, and they do something coming from that caring for the well-being of others. The question just asked is like, that's a book. Good qualities. Anything else? We got something she needed? No. Okay. Yeah.
I just want to share an observation. I was reading the Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam and contrasting those with the Chaturshloki in the Bhagavad Gita. It seems like the emphasis is a little different. When in Bhagavad Gita, the emphasis is more on the relationship, acting in one's relationship with Krishna and his reciprocation, versus in these set of verses, it's more putting a pause on everything and looking at sometimes again the observation between Krishna and all of us and everything around us.
That's interesting. So, what would you like me to do?
I don't know. I would have expected, I don't know, it was sort of surprising that the themes of the Chatura Shlokis in these two scriptures are different emphasis of something different.
That's not what we read yesterday. So, what we read in Prabhupada's purport yesterday is these Chaturshloki verses are the same message as Bhagavad Gita. Remember reading that? So maybe you go back and take a look at what the verses are saying and see if you got it right. Both sets. Because I say that because generally, Prabhupada made the comparison between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. One is the undergraduate and the other is the graduate study. So I don't see what you just described. I see the graduate study version of what's in Bhagavad Gita. Emphasis, not de-emphasis, it's just expanding. The prelude to the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam Chaturshloki verses, is this word Sarahasyam. And what does devotional service mean? It's a relationship of service and reciprocation of that service. And that's presented before, and that's throughout. Now it's just expanding upon that in the form of how to properly see everything. And to see everything is in relation to the Supreme Lord as an opportunity to serve Him. Everything. In all circumstances. And, you know, it's just a graduate study of the same message. That's how I see it.